the views and opinions expressed by guests on Connected do not necessarily reflect those of Side Street Studio Arts. Episodes may contain adult language.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Connected. This is the podcast from Side Street Studio Arts, where we talk to artists about art and their world. And my name is Erin Rayberg. I am one of the founders and executive directors of Side Street Studio Arts. Today, I am joined by Javi, who has been around Side Street for a long time. We don't know how long. We're going to try and figure that out. But Javi, who are you?
I'm Javi. a lot of people know me by my artist name, Azuna, and as far as I know, in like the last few years, I've just been kind of the local artist in the Elgin area. But yeah, I mean, I'm an artist, dad's just in love with anything that has to do with art. So I do anything from your traditional arts to digital arts to graphic design, logos, so
apparel.
Yeah, try to keep it like all like rounded, just also because it keeps me entertained. Otherwise I would go bored.
You say art till you die.
Yeah, which is funny because the other day a friend was like, when I read that, I thought it was cheesy. But now after this, like, it's been like years now that you're still at it. It's like, I think you're right. Yeah.
It's a commitment.
Yeah.
It's
and not I was cheesy, like, it's a commitment. And I was like, yeah, I mean it. Like, it's till I die, I'm going to do it.
I think, like, to make that statement, how old are you?
I just turned 30.
30, and you've been making that statement for years. To make that statement at such a young age, it took me forever to say the word art, to be like, I am an artist. How long have you been calling yourself an artist?
That's a good question. I feel like every time I think about that, I think it's as far and long as I can remember. Like, I don't know, when I was like a kid. You know, I would draw and people would say, oh, you're an artist. But it wasn't until like high school that it kind of like started like to hit me harder. And I was like, oh, this is something that I want to pursue.
Did you take art classes in high school at all?
I did. I took all the art classes, like the, you know, the different, how they have like art 1, 2, 3, 4. With Timothy Volato, that was my art teacher, and he was such a big influence of my like evolution as an artist with the things that he taught me and like just his skills. So I'm very appreciative of that, and I still like see him every now and then, so it's cool to like go back into those memories.
That's great. And so I'm assuming those were classes that you were like, you would do explore drawing and then a painting and then watercolor and that, you know, doing all of the things. Yeah. Did you find that you excelled in all of those things early on? Like it felt good?
Yeah, it did. It felt like it was, like, I guess in a sense, like a calling. I just didn't struggle with that. If anything, it was kind of like my outlet with everything. So like if I wasn't having a good day, I would always look forward to that. And or like when things would just naturally fall into place, for example, like I would do like this art project and then my teacher would just be like, this is actually going on to a competition. And I was like, oh, okay. And then we would go into competitions and, you know, get little rewards and stuff. So it was kind of like almost like itself like rewarding me. So I took that as like, okay, this is working out, so let's just keep going with it. Which when I graduated, I ended up getting an award from him as like the, like, you know, I forget what it was called, but it was like the graduating year most excel in art, and it was really cool. Like,
that's really awesome. Touching.
And then when I graduated with that, even though, like, you know, essentially some people would say it was just like a plaque award or something, but for me it was more like, okay, like this is like where I want to go, you know.
That experience had been validated. Mm-hmm. Do you think you were than like calling yourself an artist internally. Like, I am going to be, yeah. I am, mm-hmm. and I'm going to be an artist. Then. Mm-hmm. I had an art teacher in high school. I had to take one of those intro art classes so that I could take photography. And on like the second day, we were drawing something of which is not a great skill of mine. And he was like, what are you doing in this class? And I was like, I have to take it. And he goes, okay, we'll get you through it, whatever. And it was like double-edged. Like, I really liked this guy. Like, we would mess with each other, you know, like whatever. But also he was like, what you're doing isn't good, you know? And so I was like, okay, well, my brain, you're never going to be good at that. So let's just focus on what's after this instead of being like, let's find a way to explore who you are within this, right? And I think a lot of people get told that a lot. You know, how mm-hmm. many people do we talk to around here where they're like, I'm not an artist, but
right.
they start with that caveat. So that validation is super important to hang on to. Were you in Elgin? Did you grow up in Elgin?
No. The story of Javi.
That's and what we're here for. Yeah, the story and of Javi.
It's funny because it's crazy for me to even think about and kind of like, because it's not that I forget, but it's something that I'm not always reminding myself, mm-hmm. like, well, like, you know. But I was born and grew up in Veracruz. For I want to say up to like primary school, like elementary school, I think. And when I was like 7 to 8 years old, that I'm trying to remember, that's when I came to the States. And it's kind of blurry because, of course, like I was very young, so I can't really like remember like my journey at those ages. But I remember. Because my mother wanted us to have a better future, and it's not like, you know, if I would have stayed where I was at, I wouldn't enjoyed it, or I wouldn't have been like happy. But it was I came from one of those like places where it's like a little village, and we had a very tiny town, but it was very humble from what I remember. Definitely kind of wish that I would have experienced that a little bit more, because I do know that at least my grandma is, I want to say, maybe like second generation. Like my great grandma was indigenous Aztec background, and then so like my grandma was like very heavily influenced by that, and I wanted to like explore more of that. But of course I understood, like, you know, like when you have certain opportunities, my mother took upon those and was like, no, I want my kids to have a better life. And that was like her vision. And so she brought me, and at the time it was my little sister, but she was still a baby. And then we arrived at, I believe Texas. There was like friends and maybe family that my mom was familiar with. And then from there, we kind of make our journey. I don't know if we hit some states, but eventually we settled more in the Georgia state. And in Georgia, that's where I kind of grew up more of the rest of my preteen years. And I started high school in Georgia. And at the time when I, like, you know, grew up in Georgia, It's funny because I know like that my mom probably had this idea that like, oh, it was just gonna like be all like a better life, and it was a better life, and there was more better opportunities. But I just kind of got brought and, you know, naturally got introduced to gangs, violence. That was just my surroundings. It was really hard for me to stay like focused on like anything else but like what was around me, which was, you know, like friends that were kind of like pursued into gangs and stuff like that. And the thing that kind of like separated me from getting too deep into that, which is like another like cliche funny weird thing, but I got introduced into skateboarding through one of my friends. And I fell in love with it. I fell in love with that. And it got to a point where I was like, oh, all I want to do is just skate. I want to be a skater boy, you know, and all that stuff. And so that kind of like kept me as far away from like being too involved into the gangs. Of course, like you can't help it, but just to also get involved. But that I want to say like helped me kind of like not get too deep into it. And then things started getting rough in the South, I guess how people say it. We would, you know, travel, whether it was like to, you know, get groceries, or if it was like my parents going or my mother going to work. And there would just be like all these obstacles where they would have to be careful to not accidentally pass through a random checkpoint. Because that's what they would do. They would do checkpoints where they would stop people and check if they were immigrants. And then if you were an immigrant, they would just like boot you back out. And so that was kind of like a very scary thing at that age for me, because I was like, I was kind of like, you know, I feel like after 8 years old, I grew up here and I was so used to living here. And I'm like, oh, like, I feel like this, like I live here. It almost felt like I was kind of like, if my parents were to get caught, it's like, I would just get like tossed back to, which is weird to feel, but it's like to a country that I don't know, you know, even though I did, you know, grow up when I was younger over there. But at that point, I'm just like, I have so much new things that I'm like, I don't know, like a product of just America now. And so to get away from that, my parents were like, oh, like there's like, we have friends over by Illinois. They said like, you know, like Illinois tends to be a safe state for immigrants. Like, you don't usually like hear any of those roadblocks or like ICE raids or anything like that, very rarely. And so because of that and job opportunities, we moved over to Illinois. And it was when I was like a freshman in high school, which I ended up also jumping through a lot of schools through our traveling, which affected me. But also at the same time, it also kind of like gave me different perspectives in schools and different perspectives in environments, which I think taught me a lot. Because when we arrived in Illinois and we were here in Elgin, I went to Elgin High School, and Elgin High School was a big change compared to the one that I was at in Georgia. I felt like the one in Georgia was more like violent, more like almost like a bad kid school. And over here it was more like more calm, more, I don't know, respectful, which is funny because I always hear that people would say the opposite about Elgin High School. They'll be like, oh, it's like bad or whatever. And I would be like, this is nice. It's nice over here. And then that's when I started, you know, like pursuing the arts more here. I feel like because I was out of that environment that I was in Georgia. And over here it was almost like a, not a fresh start, but like a new slate. And so, you know, the people that I ended up meeting here and I got surrounded by definitely got me out of that other vision that I had back in Georgia. And then I graduated high school. And I think you, I don't know if you mentioned, but you were asking if I pursued art in school. And then this goes to like another, like, so once like Javi is graduated, I did want to go to like college for graphic design. And it was kind of like that a dream that I had at that point of my life. And I ended up dealing with more, more obstacles, because as I was like, applying, I honestly was trying to get to go to the, people call it differently, but I think it's the Institute of Art of Chicago. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I looked into it and it was super expensive, right? And then I was like, oh, okay. I was like, let me try Columbia. And so I tried to apply, and it got to a point where they basically were like saying, like, sorry, but like, you can't afford it and you can't get financial aid or any loans because of your legal status. So there's like no way around it. You just can't. And I remember like getting all these no's from all these different places. I was like really bummed out because I was like, oh, it's my path. It's my dream. It's my, you know, I just got out of like school, like art, like I should just keep pursuing it, blah, blah, blah. And so that was like almost like a, and I remember it's funny because I remember I cried. My mother felt so bad because she was like, I'm sorry that like, she felt guilty that she felt like, she's like, I'm sorry like that I brought you over here just so you can like struggle, you know? And I told her like, no, like it's not that. It's just like, it just sucks that like there's just certain things that like we're limited to. And especially at that time, because I know now, you know, like you, I think we're able to apply for financial aid and get some form of aid now. But back then it was like a straight no. Like if you weren't a resident or legal, you just can't. And then I used that downfall as energy. And I was like, no, I'm going to figure out a way. I'm going to figure out a way to push forward. I'm going to figure out like a way to like still pursue what I want to do. And then I looked into Elgin Community College, and I basically took the intro classes that I would have taken at the other colleges, and I learned the basics of the programs that I wanted to learn, of like graphic design and all that. And I was really happy that I caught onto those programs fairly quick, that like once I, you know, the intros show you the beginning stages, but you can keep like kind of teaching yourself as once you're like familiar with the interface and the programs. After I took a first, like one semester, because of course it was also money that like I didn't want to get too invested in to get taking the whole full course and like not be able to afford it, because it would just come out all out of pocket. There would be like no loans. So I took the first semester. I learned a lot. It was fun. And then I just kind of like dropped after that. And then I just took it from there, like in terms of like kind of like the artist hustle of like looking for like little jobs here and there for like design work. What is it called? Like,
freelancing.
Yeah, freelancing a lot.
Gig work.
Yeah, gig work. And I started realizing that I was getting a good amount of work. And then it started hitting me. I was like, not that, and this is not like to discourage anybody, but there are ways around things. And like, you don't necessarily, which I don't know if it's bad to say, but like, I always want to like believe in like, you don't need a paper that says that you can do something when you have all this work to prove it, you know? And so getting that life lesson and like realizing it, then I started applying that to other things. And I was like, you know, as I got older, it's funny though, a lot of people were asking me, how did you get into murals? How did you start like doing murals? And I was like, it was honestly the fake it till you make it story.
Well, we're familiar around here with the fake it till you make it.
There was this opportunity at I don't know if you guys are familiar, because they shut down, but it was GameWorks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the little arcade.
Yep.
One of my friends worked there, and he was just casually like, oh yeah, they're just randomly asking all of us if we know how to paint, because they want somebody to do a mural for this. And he was like, so you don't work there, but it's like, I could give him your info if you want to do a mural. And I was like, what's a mural? and then I looked it up, and I was like, oh, it's like just painting or drawing on the wall, like whatever. And I was like, yeah, I was like, give him my info with zero experience, right? And then the CEO reaches out to me. He's like, yeah, come in, let's talk. And then I go in, and then it's funny, because the first thing he's like walking me through to the wall space, and he's like, you've done this before, right? And I didn't hesitate. I was like, yeah. But in my head, I was like, please don't ask me to show you any work because I don't have anything to show him. And he didn't, which I was so glad. He was like, okay. And then he shows me the space and blah, blah, blah. And then I get the job to do the mural. And the whole time, I was partly freaking out, but partly excited because I was like, I could either do such a good job or I could really mess this up really bad, you know? But I was like, this is where I'm going to find out. And thankfully, it was successful. And they ended up winning on the second one. And ever since then, that's where I just started, like, bouncing from that to other, like, businesses and stuff like that. And yeah, this I guess goes to the present.
Right? Yeah, that is a whole odyssey, right? It is not an uncommon story, right? Mm-hmm. We know that this story exists. We've heard, if our eyes are and ears are open, we've heard this story. And I feel like so oftentimes it is a like, and then we did this and then we moved there and it was to find a better situation and mm-hmm. we moved out of better. And some of those things are just kind of glossed over so that it just could be perceived as a minor trial or, you know, a tiny obstacle in the way. And I know as a kid, perspective is totally different from what your family was going through as a whole, but you're absorbing all of that too mm-hmm. and all of that transition and how to move through the world. And I know we can see that in your work. And as you mentioned, bouncing around, you can feel it in your personality too. Like, right, I come from a movement background, and so I can see Javi move through a room and like talk to people, and it's smooth. And people love you, and you can engage in a moment and also stand back in ways that I don't see, especially a lot of visual artists do. Like, you know, some visual artists are like huddled in a corner, you know? And so it's really fascinating to watch. Can you see a connection to kind of all this travel and everything you went through in these different circles you've been in to how you're able to move professionally and socially through this kind of like community that you've built around yourself in the creative world?
Yeah, I would say, yeah, that's definitely something I also think about, that like, it's kind of like thinking of all your struggles and deciding whether to feel sad and bad about it or make it into something positive and be like, no, like all of these things that I went through and like experienced shaped me, and I wouldn't know certain like things if I didn't go through those things. So like you said, like I feel like being able to experience all these different sides, I'm able to familiarize myself way better and make connections because I understand versus just listening.
Yeah. Do you said, you know, you can kind of make that decision. Like looking back, how do you see? I feel like you mentioned skateboarding and kind of, I can imagine, yeah. Right, wanting to nail a trick versus whatever other options were out there. Is that part of that decision making process? Like, how is that, I'm going to make the decision to head in this direction? How does that play itself out?
That's a good way to think about it. Like, I forget that, but yeah, like essentially, skateboarding does have a lot of traits when it comes to like, persistence and practicing and just kind of like a mental game when it comes to like, you know, like you said, like focusing to try to land a trick. So maybe, yeah, like maybe certain traits of the things that I did ended up also like applying to other things. But it's just a lot of that with everything, you know, like I feel that I learned so much through going through the struggles, and people, you know, sometimes even say like, oh, I feel bad, or like they feel some type of way, like, or like, oh, you shouldn't have gone through that. And, you know, I appreciate that, and I like love that they feel that way. But I also like to think that it's like, what hobby would I have been if I didn't experience those things, you know? And what could I help one to other people that might be going through that with, you know. So I like to think of it like that. But
we don't know different than what our experience was, right? It's normal to us, whatever the myriad of experiences are, you know. And when you're on the other side of a moment or a decade or whatever, and you're like, I did that, yeah. you know, and could look back, someone might think it's an amazing feat of whatever. Meanwhile, you're just walking step by step, day by day. It's fascinating to watch unfold. But all of this plays out in your artwork now, right?
Yeah, yeah.
This trajectory, like the odyssey of Javi, right, is in every piece I see you make, I think.
Yeah. You know, I still enjoy creating for fun, but every other piece, I like to see it as like a storytelling piece or a piece of reflection or a piece that could talk or get the gears moving in your head and like start dissecting certain things. That's something I enjoy doing with like a lot of my art, is that I like, you know, whether it's I'm telling my story or a story or an experience or whatever it could be, I don't want to make it a like crystal clear, like, oh, this is that. I want to make it kind of like generalized, because one of my favorite things is whenever I speak to people and they tell me their feelings that they get from a piece or what they see in a piece, I feel like I learned about them through them seeing my art, which is really cool to think about, because I feel like I've never been a selfish person. I even hate the whole like me, like feel like, I don't know, it's nothing like against anything, but it's just like, it's people that are like, oh, like, you're like this or you're that, and I'm like, oh, like, stop, like that, you know. But when I talk to people about like my art, like, and they express things, I don't know if they don't realize it, but they're like telling me a bit about themselves with the things that they recognize, or they even translate, even if they translate my piece 180 from what I'm saying. I think that's so cool.
I think that speaks to your openness. I don't think a lot of us are comfortable talking to the creator of the work behind them about their work. Because what if I'm wrong, right? Yeah, what if I do open up to you about what it means to me and you're like, bitch, this is not, like, you are wrong about that, you know? So I think that speaks to your openness of being able to engage and hear those things from people. Do you ever get responses that you do feel like, I don't like that person saw that in my art?
You know, I feel like maybe at a point I did, but now I like hearing, even if it's like a negative thing or a opposite thing. I base it off of the whole like, oh, like, I don't like yes mans, right? Like,
yeah.
I don't want people to just be like, oh my God, this is so good, blah, blah, blah. Like, no, I want there to be a different point of view, a different perspective, even if they don't get it and it's wrong. That's okay too. You know, like, it's, I want to celebrate also the freedom of having your own opinion. You know, that's okay. Like, even if it's bad sometimes, maybe even saying it out will make you like realize it, you know, rather than keeping it inside.
Yeah. I'm thinking about a few of your pieces specifically, and coming off of that fake it till you make it mural story, your second to most recent mural down here, the Si Se Pueda mural, that was up at Dream Hall. Can you tell us about that, how that came to be and where it came from? I know it's one you've been thinking about for a minute too.
Yeah, the Si Se Pueda mural was essentially a project that I did of me just being frustrated. Me being kind of like tired of waiting for something to happen, right? Like, I wanted to create something, but I didn't want to just, like, wait for a goal or a green light or anything. I got the opportunity through Kevin. Kevin is one of the owners of Dream Hall. He had commissioned me for a mural for one of his businesses. And then I know that he had a couple of artists flipping the wall in front of the Dream Hall. And I had asked him about it. I was like, oh, it's been a while since anybody has done anything on there. You guys still doing that? And then he was like, as far as I know, no one has like been next in line. So he was like, if you want to do something, feel free. And that's where I was like, in my head, I was like, I want to do this and I want to see what happens. I just want to see what happens. I just like, if people don't like it, at least I'll find out that that this is not the place or this is not the area that they want to see more of that. And I also wanted to do a mural that was more deeper in cultural aspects of me and maybe like, family, like journey, storytelling. And so I, as soon as I got the go, I got everything ready and I just went at it. I even remember like, I kind of like quickly like tossed a sketch and I was just more like, I'll work on it as I go with it. I just wanted to get it done. Cause also I think it was getting to those like times where winter was coming. So I was also like, I need to get this up. And it's funny cause, the spaces that they were like constantly flipping for artists was like this like smaller, square area. But I was like, no, I want the whole wall. And he was like, okay, it's just like, it might be a lot of like, you know, like work and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, no, it's okay. Started on the wall. As I was working on it, a lot of people would stop by and be curious, express thoughts about it, like, feedback, and everything was positive. Everything was fun. Everybody enjoyed it. As I was working on it, once I completed it, I was content. I was personally, it was more of like a personal thing. I was like, I'm happy. Like, I put something that's very like valuable to me. Even though I'm not being paid for it, like I'm not asking anybody for any money. Kevin, I will say he did help out with supplies, which I'm very thankful for that he even like pitched in anything because he didn't have to. So thank you, Kevin. But it you know, it was out there, and that was for me, that was the end of it. That I was like, people are gonna enjoy it or hate it, but it's on there. I was happy. And then I think winter passed because, you know, the snow, blah, blah, blah. And then once it started hitting spring, everything started kind of like I always think of it in a nature flower sort of way as like I planted the seed. Yeah. And if it grows, it grows. If it doesn't, then it doesn't. And that's how I feel with a lot of the projects that I do. And so that's how I felt, like I planted it like last year before winter, and then once spring started, it started sprouting. And by that I mean like started getting the attention of people, started like talking about it. One of my favorite first things from it was from Yvette had told me that, you know, they would have their students walk, and they were, if anything, I think maybe she even said that she took them to see it, to go see it, and that a couple of her students were really intrigued by it and they were taking pictures of it, and it was really cute because it was kind of like a, like looking up to a vision of them that they would like grow up to be, you know. And I'm not saying like, oh, that they're going to be exactly the subject that I painted, but it was like, it was inspiring for me to see that like people and even the youth was taking something positive from it. And that was like, you know, fulfilling and wholesome for me to receive. And I was like, that's my payment. That's what I do it for. And yeah. and feeling that gave me this feeling of like, this is what I want to keep doing, in a sense that I want to create to inspire, create to make a positive impact, rather than create something that's cool or something that's like paid for by a company, or, you know, not saying that that's like wrong, but I found my enjoyment. And then, like I said, that was like, in a sense for me, hearing the stories and even just like online, because I know like on Facebook, there's like the What's Happening on Elgin page, and even just people sharing it to me. There's a lot of talk of people being, sharing their stories of like, oh, my kids love seeing that. Every time we go, they're like, that's me, that's me, that's me. And they start sharing like their, like the impact, the positive impact that it's doing for like their kids. And it's just, it's fun. There was like nothing negative, you know, which I was worried for a bit, because I was like, maybe some people were going to be like, oh, we don't want anything cultural here or anything like that. And I say that because I did also get, reached out by a couple people, being thankful that I put this art on the wall, because they felt that they weren't welcome in the area. I don't know what was the situation, but from the brief messages that they would send me, is that they would hear people say like, oh, I gotta get out of Elgin because all these Hispanic, Mexican, Latinos are moving in, and it's just not for them, or something like that. And the person who expressed this was saying that hearing that, they made them feel that they weren't welcome, that they weren't like wanted in this area. But after seeing the mural and seeing it be in like a downtown area, they felt like a sense of like belonging, a sense of like that, no, like, you're welcome here. Like, and so seeing those other impacts also, like, it was another like award for me. I was like, yes, awesome.
That's a big deal, right? To happen upon anything that you can see yourself in, right? Yeah. And just be seen for that moment, that is a really big deal. Times a million if someone is already having an experience where they haven't felt welcome, and then there's a moment of welcome, it can crack something really important open.
And then I thought that was it, right? I was like, okay, like the seed sprouted, it's a flower now. But then it just kept going, you know, like I got reached out by Sometimes Chicago, which is random, because I was like, I was like, I thought that they would only base their like articles in Chicago, but the guy, he said that he was just randomly walking through downtown area and he saw it, and he was like, I gotta write about this. And he did the whole interview thing, and yeah, the article came out, and I was really happy, because I in a sense I was like, you know, it's not only bringing light to the mural, but I feel like even just the community and like the area, it's kind of like also like, you know, shining light to this little town of Elgin, you know, in a Chicago like article. It was cool. I felt like a little proud for that. I was like, okay, that's awesome, you know, because I always felt and had this idea that like nobody wanted this to happen, but the fact that it was just like all these different like things happening, I was like, confirmation that it did. And then that goes into me explaining the mural, you know. So the mural is, when you see it, it's just aesthetically fun to look at, colorful, cultural, but essentially it's a storyboard line. So it starts from like left to right. So left, it's, you know, kind of like highlighting kind of like my background. So like, you know, coming from little villages, there's like this little town in like a very like Mexican like cultural with the agriculture and the florals. And so it's very like the beginnings, right? And then it goes towards the kind of like one of the main subjects, which is a woman of color, but she's flexing, and she's like, you know, wearing like your traditional Mexican like attire. But I decided to do, of course, a subject of women of color flexing, because I see that as like almost like a shout out to my mother, you know, to be like, you know, like I wouldn't have gotten to this point if it wasn't for her sacrifices, her choices that she did, like, which I don't, you know, like, of course, like, bring it up, but she almost didn't make the crossing when she crossed the border. So it was almost like, kind of like, be like, no, I'm very, very thankful for that. Like, she did what she had to do. And also, you know, to reflect that, like, it's not only just like, oh, like, for my mother, but also like that a lot of the times, you know, are like our mothers are very like strong family individuals that, like, whether sometimes we don't realize it, they make, you know, certain choices that benefit us or like helps us in the future. So it was kind of like that. And also like shouting out, like, you know, like I believe in like is it called like equality, like, so it was a lot of those little hints and stuff like that. But of course, like, if people read it off as like, oh, it's just like strong women, okay, that's good, that's also like anything positive that you can like feed off of it, that's perfect, you know, like I don't want it to be like just one thing. And then it scrolls through a, like, it's funny because, like, I don't know, people noticed it, but it starts very like bright, but then after the women figure, the background's kind of like gray out, and then it goes into this little like emblem that I did of a remake of what is the coat of arms that's in the Mexican flag, of the eagle holding to the serpent. But the version that I made is more of like, I like one of those like power fists, but it's still holding onto the serpent. And that was fairly just decorative, but also like adding to like, you know, like as like we can do it, sort of like fist up in the air type of feel. And then as the gray colors in the background start going into a very colorful back again, then it goes, turns out into the city. There's like this like silhouette of the city, referencing, you know, Chicago. And also if you see it, it starts from like a little town to the city, in terms of like showing growth, showing like evolution, showing like improvement, or whatever you want to take it. And then there's layers, so like it starts the city, and it starts like the little like smaller towns, and then it goes into like a little smaller town, which would be the Elgin area, you know. And then it goes into this little like colorful skulls that represent, you know, like our ancestors, you know, going, shouting out the whole Dia de Muertos, you know, fun, colorful thing. But it's a big important thing for me that's like, you know, like a lot of the things that we do now, we don't realize that it's gonna make a, or might make a big impact for our next following generations, you know. Like me and my family are first generation immigrants here, so, you know, we're essentially going to establish whatever follows after us. So I always like to, you know, appreciate and not forget of our past ancestors and generations and family that like are no longer with us. It's a good like remembering subject. And then of course you have the Si Se Puede in like giant text. And which I did
means
it.
What does Si Se Puede mean?
It's essentially translates to like, yes, we can. So, and it's funny because it's, some people see it as a cheesy thing, like it's like a cheesy thing, but I wanted to empower it and be like, no, like it can be done. Yes, it can. Like I put that mural there because yes, I could, you know, like, and all that stuff. And I did the letters in like a gold. So, you know, when the light reflects it, it looked really like cool and all that. But overall, that was like the storyboard. But if people saw it as just something fun, that's also like what's my goal. And that was the story of that mural, that it came basically from a little idea that I had, that I just wanted to kind of like gift to the Elgin area. I just wanted to be like, oh, just do something that I want to do. I'd never expected it to get as much attention as it did, or even be appreciated as much as he did.
It was so very impactful, and it did make me think about, for years you've had really confident female representation in your work, right? I never question a woman hanging out in your work being like, how'd she get in there? Is she okay? You know, like, there's always this like respect and strength to the women in your work, which, as you mentioned, I was going to ask, but very clearly comes from, you know, female strength in your family and showing that off. And we can't talk too much about the Elgin Fringe Festival poster because it's top secret right now, but Javi is the Fringe poster artist this year, and there is a broad in this piece of work that I am in love with. Can you talk about her a little bit without giving everything away?
Yeah.
Nick, don't get mad at me for talking about the poster.
It basically was a result of, I don't know if anyone's familiar, but one of, like, I guess my popular pieces that I've done is this little girl that's like has this little dog in like a backpack, almost like those like baby carriers.
Yeah, we sold out of those stickers a few times at May, I think.
And I was, you know, bringing that idea back because I like kind of like evolving from the same subject, but in different, like, almost like different themes and different like styles. And so I kind of did a little mix of everything and essentially did a, well, okay, how much can I talk about the poster? I don't want to, yeah.
Just a little, not too much. We got to save something. Just talk about her. It's good. It's an evolution from a character you've been working
on. Yeah. I mean, she's...
What's she wearing?
She's very heavy in terms of like cultural... what do you call it, like attires, symbolism. Mm-hmm. It's so when I created it, I didn't want it to be like, oh, it's resembling Frida, but I definitely wanted to have some like Frida aesthetic to it. So I added like her like wonderful famous like unibrow, like that's, and not to give too much away, but like the, instead of having your traditional, like, you know, like dog, which I usually use, you know, like the Shiba Inu, which is this like little Japanese dog that like I love, like personally I love, so I like to like sometimes like involve it into my arts, which sometimes a lot of people say like, oh, what's the reference of the dog, and it's just because I like dogs, and also referencing to in the Chinese zodiac, my birth year is the year of the dog, and I feel like I could relate to those traits. So it's kind of like that adding about me, but at the same time, it's like, it's cute.
You know? An extra little signature there. I like that. I didn't know that.
And but instead of it being a dog, this time it's a fox. Referencing, you know. And at the time, it's funny because like... this goes to another like little topic, but a lot of the times people have asked me, oh, does the, do I plan the artwork, or does, or how do I come up about the art? But I always feel that the art tells itself, like it tells the story itself without me essentially being like 100% on the planning and, coming up with the ideas or whatever, but I made this character be like almost like walking in this like water river thing. And it didn't hit me until after I started like working on it. I was like, oh my God, this is essentially, you know, like referencing when you cross the river as like, as an immigrant, you know, it's like, it's so insane to me to think that like, you know, that journey is such an impactful thing. You know, somebody could just be like, oh, you just like cross the river. But it's like, no, it's like, it's almost like life or death sort of thing, right? And at the time I wasn't thinking of it, because at the time I was like, oh, it's just, I want to like bring the Fox River into the artwork. And, you know, like, you know, it's cool to look at like the way that like I like drew it. It's just fun. It's fun. But then I started thinking, I was like, wow, this is like a cultural impact, almost like shouting out to those who made those sacrifices, you know? And so she's like, you know, carrying the fox, like kind of like across it. And the fox is holding like this little can, which every time I use like, you know, something holding a can, it's like almost like bringing art with you anywhere you go, you know. It's like a to go like little like art, and it's like almost like shouting out the appreciation that I have for art in general, as like I feel like a lot of the doors and opportunities that were opened for me were all thanks to the arts. Like it's crazy to think about, but it is like everything that like that I've accomplished has been because of the arts and not anything else. So I put art in such a special place in my heart. So like, you know, whenever like I add it to my artwork, that's what it's representing. But also, like I said, a lot of people, they're like, oh, a spray can, you know, graffiti and like all that. And essentially, yeah, like it's fun. Like it's all these different things. But personally, like I use it almost like if somebody was holding a paintbrush or somebody was holding a paint or two.
I love that.
So it's like that. It's kind of like when you're a kid and you just carry your favorite toy.
Yep.
It's like exactly like that.
I could listen to you talk about your art all day, but one of the reasons you're here is because you have a show coming up in Side Street, and we need to talk about that for a moment. In April, the first Friday in April, we're opening Javi's show, and I hesitate to call it a solo show because he has collaborators, mm-hmm. but it is mm-hmm. Javi's show that he's showing his work and curating in other artists, and it is called Illegal Artist, and the image for the show is based on one of my favorite works that you've made. Tell us about what you're doing.
So when Aaron hit me up and was like, Javi, you want to have a show? And I was like, yeah, like I was like on board like right away. I started like thinking of like, you know, like what I want to do, what's deep into like the mind of Javi, and like, and then I started thinking, you know, like I want to like do something that's like represents me right now. It's like, what represents me? And I started, you know, talking about like the things that like I mentioned earlier in this podcast, you know, like the things that I went through and all that. And I was like, then this idea hit me, and I was like thinking about it, and I was like, you know, being an illegal artist and having my art not be seen as like the same way that they see me kind of like tickled my brain. I was just thinking like, you know, that's funny, you know, like I never thought of that it's like, you know, if I'm not essentially, I guess, welcomed here or allowed, like, you know, to be thought of like a person that like is from here, it's like, then does that mean that my art that's mine, oh, it's also not seen that way? But then I started also thinking of, you know, the graffiti backgrounds that I also have. That's, it's like, you know, sometimes you see like a beautiful like little graffiti piece or a mural, and it's not done on a surface that's like legal, but it's beautiful and people love it. It's like, is that also illegal? You know, it's like, it's illegal until people love it and people approve it, then it's like legal, which is in the title. That's why I like highlight the legal art and the illegal artist. And that was like the little play on idea of the show, that it's not like, you know, to bring people and be like, this is that and that's that. No, it's more of like just like celebrating like the beauty in both things, the beauty in culture, the beauty in like graffiti art, the beauty and how like, you know, like everything should be seen in like different points of view than what you're being told that it is, you know. And it doesn't generally have a specific point that I want the show to, like, you know, be giving people a specific idea, but it's more of like what shapes me, what like is what defines me and I enjoy doing. And yeah, that was the title that I felt that was like intriguing and also like fun to bring up.
Yeah, and I love the idea of, right, the contradiction. We talk about it here all the time, right? All of a sudden we're gonna put your work on a white wall gallery, and why does that say something different? Should it say something different than if it was, you know, a tag somewhere, you know, right, pop up? And we're thinking about using the walls and that kind of thing to kind of explore that bridge. You know, it's a divide right now, right? Gallery, yeah, walls and alley wall, for example, that's a divide. What's the bridge there? Is there a bridge there? Is that even a conversation to be had, you know?
Right. And that's something that, like, you know, I hope that the show does. It's kind of like how people see it as like a conversation piece, but at the same time I want it to be fun. I want people to have a good time seeing the art, and not so much be like, oh, this is supposed to mean this, or this is supposed to, if that's what you seek from it, then so be it. But like, I don't want it to be like, oh, like come here and talk serious, you know, like, no, you know what I mean? Yeah, like
no serious talk at Javi's opening.
Yeah, no. Please.
So the show opens Friday, April 5th at 6 o'clock. And it's up for the entire month of April. I said, there'll be collaborators. Yeah, what were you going to say?
It's also my first show ever.
First solo show ever? Wowzers, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that a lot. We are super proud of working to work with artists to help pay them for solo shows. We know solo shows are bigger undertakings than if Javi were to just submit a piece to a show. Mm-hmm. So while in the gallery, we typically, for a big submission show, don't take a commission, we're constantly trying to fundraise and grant write so that we can be like, Javi, here's some resources to help you realize this show, you know, and sell work and all of that, you know, which is not the end all be all, but a better way to make a living as an artist when, you know, there's some sort support behind it. So that's something that we've been working on and are enjoying seeing itself play out. Joshua Dixon, who was just one of our judges for year 11, he was the first solo artist we were able to do that with. And he was like, I'm using the money for frames. Like, that was something that was super important to him and is so costly and hadn't been able to like throw into in a way he really wanted to for years. And so that was just a fun conversation to figure out how each artist is supporting their process. And hopefully people keep donating to Side Street so we can keep paying artists. But that was a tangent. Sorry, but I'm excited.
No, it does help a lot. So, yeah.
So we'll see collaborators, we'll see original works, we'll see returning pieces, maybe. Yeah,
some returning pieces. And like, I don't want to, you know, spoil too much, but I'm gonna visualize the way a different way than you would normally see, you know, a gallery, like you just have to come and see what I'm talking about. I don't want to talk about it so much.
Good. That's the point. That's why we love you to reimagine the space. Always. We always want people to do that. Javi, thank you so much for spending time with us today.
Of course. Thank
always
you.
Always a pleasure. You. Well, you know, if it was a little later, we could go do a green tea shot to celebrate. Got a few more hours of work left. Nick, don't shake your head. You know you'd be down for that too. Everyone, thank you for joining us. If I want to see more of your artwork or hunt you down to commission you for a mural, how do I find you, Javi?
You can find me on Instagram at Azuna_arts with a Z. That's AZUNA_ARTZ. I'm on Facebook too, if you guys are still on Facebook. I know not many people are on Facebook.
I'm still on Facebook.
Apparently, some people aren't. But if you still are, I'm also under Azuna_arts there, or azunaarts.com, or azuna.arts@gmail.com.
If you got none of that, you can also reach out to Side Street and we'll send you his way. Again, Illegal Artist opens in the gallery Friday, April 5th at 6 o'clock, free and open to the public, and we look forward to seeing you all there. Thank you, Javi.
Thank you.
Connected is a Side Street Studio Arts production. Music by Tanner Melvin. Produced by Nick Mataragas. To find out more about Connected and all the great things Side Street Studio Arts offers, please visit sidestreetstudioarts.org.